Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for being our vision. May we put our hope and our trust in you, for you alone, our God. And we ask that you fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes, open our hearts as we pour out our praise. And as the Pastor Cal brings the word to us, may you open our hearts that we may be changed and transformed by the words that he preaches to us today. Bless him. It is in Jesus' name that we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Let's get y'all out of the darkness into the light. All right. Good morning. It is a good morning. I want to quickly pray for a pastor buddy of mine, Tim Farrell. That's Charlie Beth's dad. She sits over here with Jacob and her family normally. But he's been in the trauma unit all week up at Vanderbilt, really struggling with some issues. So I want to pray for Pastor Tim Farrell. There are so many others that really need prayer, battling cancer that are here, all kinds of stuff going on right now. But I'm so thankful God's on his throne. My father-in-law, CW, he's over in the hospital this morning with pneumonia. So you just pray for whoever you want to, and let's have another minute of prayer. Father, I want to lift up Brother Tim to you, faithful pastor out at Dotsonville Baptist Church. Lord, this Tim's, it seems, has more lives than a cat. He's been up and down, but Lord, I know you are with him right there in that trauma unit. And he's received a miracle already just by still being here. And I pray for Shannon. I pray for his dear wife, Etta. I pray for his daughter, Charlie Beth, and the whole family, God, that you would give them peace and strength. Thank you for these wonderful doctors and nurses that serve, God, that help us to get back on our feet. I ask, God, that you would just continue to give a miracle healing in your perfect will for Timothy Farrell this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be in Revelation 21 and 22 today. Before we read the scripture, let me just say this. Last week we finished up our sermon series on witnessing. And I'm praying that many of you got a breakthrough in witnessing over that four-week sermon series. Jesus told us, commanded us to be his witnesses. And he's given us everything we need to be his witness. So I'm praying that all of us, every one of us, would be his witnesses. But we're going to change horses today, okay? We're going to go around another corner. We're going to talk about heaven this morning. I'd planned on diving into a breakthrough in discipleship and talk about discipleship, but God's led in another direction. And I've entitled the message, We Can Only Imagine. Now, let me tell you where this is coming from, okay? I don't normally do this. But 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday night, I gave a devotional. I usually give a short devotional for those of you that think we just begin and end with prayer. We do some really cool things on Wednesday nights. And one of the things I normally try to do is give a short devotional. And that evening I talked about heaven. And it was just like God came and sat down amongst us. Some of y'all have got that moon calf. Look, you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm praying. The Lord Jesus blessed it. And I've preached on heaven here many, many times. But for some reason, I think part of the reason that God blessed it is because of all the strife that Greg talked about and the turmoil and the sickness and the suffering that's going on in our nation, the division that's happening, all the stuff that's going on around the world. People being martyred for their faith. And then right here in River City, right here and Second Mile Church. I think that's the reason God blessed that devotional. It gave those folks some confidence and assurance, and it gave them some peace and some understanding that, hey, God is with us, and this is not the end of the story. We've got heaven out here waiting on us. Amen. Now, after that was over that evening, two people that I really do think the world of walked up to me, and I'll tell you who they were since they were bold enough to say this to me. I'll tell you who they were. It was J.D. Justice and Dwight Dixon. And you know what they said? The Sunday morning crowd needs to hear this message. Now, I'm not normally an issue preacher like that. I very rarely do that. But because of who they are in my life, I really began to pray about it. And so we're going to look at heaven this morning. Now, what you... I love to read and gather and garner statistics on things that we're preaching on. Did y'all know, even today, still, Pew Research Center did a survey back in 2022. That's the latest one done. 75% of Americans, 3/4 of Americans, still believe in heaven. Y'all believe in heaven? Or are you like the old Blood, Sweat, and Tears song? Yeah, I could. I better not. Says something about, you know, I don't believe in heaven, but I pray there ain't no hell. That's an old Blood, Sweat, and Tears song. But there is a heaven, and 75% of Americans believe that. Now, the late, great Dr. R.G. Lee, the great pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church, was on his deathbed, and he'd been out of it for a couple of days, and just before he died, he sat up in the bed and he said, "Oh, I've gotten a glimpse of the glory." He said, "I preached on heaven many times and I didn't do it justice. I've had a couple of deacons in my ministry that both died and came back to life. One of them died from a heart attack. The other one died on an operating table. And they both came back to life and they were ushered in to heaven. Those two deacons told me that... they tried to express what it was like when they died and they saw what heaven's like. And they were ushered into this bright light. Paul, after some near-death experience, out-of-body experience, was ushered into the third heavens. And John, he was ushered into heaven on the Lord's day. And so we got a lot of questions about heaven. And we're going to let the Word of God speak this morning, okay? Now, y'all know I'm already in trouble. It's already 9 o'clock, so we're probably going. This is going to be a two-part deal, two-Sunday deal, okay? So turn to Revelation chapter 21 and stand to your feet when you get it. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Revelation is the book of the Revelation, no S. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the whole book. There's no S on there. So don't let me hear y'all say that. That really gets under my way. Anyways, Revelation 21, verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Does he say, I hope so, I guess so, maybe so, I think so, I was guessing on it? No, he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, this is important, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Father, make it real to our hearts. Mercy Me wrote and sang a song many years ago, we can only imagine what heaven's like, but God, make it real to our hearts. Heaven's more real than Clarksville, Tennessee. And so, God, speak to our hearts here today. and help us to be obedient to your call and conviction on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated if you can. One of the first questions I have, and I think a lot of people have, about heaven is, where is it? Where is heaven? Well, to answer that question, we need to run on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul had an experience that was amazing. And, you know, these guys that experienced heaven, how do you describe heavenly things with earthly language? You know? And so, where is heaven? Well, listen to this. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 4. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast, Paul says. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I don't know. God knows. How many of you know God knows? Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. He was caught up, snatched away. This is our word for rapture, okay? He was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul had some kind of third heaven experience, and he really never got over it. But according to these verses of Scripture, Paul was taken up in this vision, in this out-of-body experience, up into heaven. So which way is heaven? Up. Very good. Y'all are listening. Now, the third heavens, let's kind of unpack that. The first heaven, this is common sense, would be Earth's atmosphere. 7 miles up from the earth is Earth's atmosphere, where the birds fly and the clouds float. Second heavens would be where the sun and the moon and the stars, Milky Way galaxy and all of that is. So where is the third heavens? That's the, above all of that, that's where God resides. Someone has well said, you can see the first heaven by sight, the second heaven by night, and the third heaven by faith. Woo, glory to God. So, which way is heaven? Heaven is up, somewhere way up there. Listen to how Isaiah describes it in Isaiah 14, verse 13. This is the fall of Lucifer. He said, "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the what?" So which way is heaven? It's up. It's far north of here. It's north. Which way is north? That's right. I hate to tell you, heaven is not down south. It's up north. All right? While heaven may seem like a long, long, long ways away, it's a lot closer than you might think. Heaven's just a prayer away. You remember Jacob in that vision that he had? We call it, "We are climbing Jacob's." Some of you old folks know that with me, amen. And so in this vision, Jacob saw this ladder that stretched all the way down to earth and it went all the way up into heaven. And he's watching these angels ascending and descending. Heaven's a little bit closer than what you might think. You know, when a believer dies, immediately, where is he? That's right, that's right. John was caught up, snatched away into heaven on the Lord's day, same day. And so heaven may be a little bit closer than what you think. For some of us here, heaven's a lot closer than you might think. You could leave here at any time. Where are you going to go? Can I just tell you, heaven is not the default destination. Hell is. You don't have to do anything. From the moment you're born, you can just keep doing your thing, and you know where you'll wind up? That's right. You got to have Jesus. So which way is heaven? Where is heaven? It's up. Isn't that really a deep theological point to make? All right, here's what I really want to get to, and I will be on this for the rest of this morning, what I've got left of this morning, and then next Sunday as well. What's heaven like? What does heaven look like? Now, you need to know this. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 says this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens, listen to this, will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will meet with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. That's why Billy Walker is not for recycling. He's mentioned that 3 or 4 times in his Sunday school. It's all going to burn up. The old heaven, the old earth, it's going to pass away. Going to melt with fervent heat. The old earth's going to burn up and all the works that are in it. Why? Because creation has been cursed by sin. The Bible says all of creation is groaning under the weight of sin. It was never God's purpose and God's intention to send hurricanes and tornadoes and flooding and drought and all kinds of stuff to destroy people. That was never what God wanted. But when sin entered into the human experience, all of creation was stained, marred, messed up. Well, bless God, He's going to make a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. And guess what? You're going to travel at the speed of light. Well, mate, you're probably going faster than that, travel at the speed of thought. You'll be in the new heaven and think, you know what? I'd like to go down to the new earth. And you'll be there. Well, I think I'd like to go polish some of those rings around Saturn, and you'll be there in a moment. Heaven. And then John describes heaven as the new Jerusalem, this holy city. And so all of this stuff kind of breaks down when you start talking about how do you describe heaven. We're going to do our best to do that. First off, I want to just talk about the splendor of heaven. Now, John describes, as he sees, he's been taken up to this high mountain, says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 10, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And so John sees this heavenly city coming down, and she's beautiful. Beautiful, gorgeous. Drop dead gorgeous. Just like you girls, when they adorned you and made you up on your wedding day. I should have, Ellen, I don't know why in the world I didn't send you some pictures. A bride is never more beautiful than on her wedding day. Because, I mean, all kinds of folks are working on her. Right? I mean, y'all know what I'm saying. I mean, she's got a brand new dress on. Styling and profiling. She's gotten all her nails done. Maybe even her toenails. I don't know. She's got all that makeup. You know, she's made up like nobody's business. Her hair's been fixed. Bride's never been more beautiful than on her wedding day. And that's how John describes heaven. Beautiful, beautiful place. Gorgeous place. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But he describes heaven as a place of no mores. Now he says there's no more sea there in verse 1 of chapter 21. What is that about? Well, you know, in John's day, the sea was seen oftentimes in an evil light, kind of an unknown, you know, the deep sea. But I think there's a deeper truth here. John's writing the book of the Revelation on an island called Patmos. He was a political prisoner quarrying rock. He was 60 miles from the coast of Ephesus. By the way, John pastored the church in Ephesus. And so he separated 60 miles by, guess what? The Aegean Sea. And so I think that's John's way of telling us there's not going to be any separation any longer when we get to heaven. Where all God's people are going to get home. Look at your neighbor and say, are you going to get there? Now tell the other neighbor, Jesus is going to get you there. All right. And so he describes heaven as no more sea. And then he talks about no more tears. No more pain. No more crying. No more dying. Can you imagine? No more sadness. What happened this week that made you sad? That's not going to happen in heaven. Pain. Bad relationships. What causes pain for us down here? Bad health, I get that. And there's not going to be any more of that either. No more sickness. Hallelujah. No more back surgery. No more arthritis. No more knee replacements. Who am I preaching to here? No more surgery. Bless God, no more depression. No more anxiety. No more worrying. None of that stuff. All that's gone. Hallelujah. Can you imagine a place like that? We can only imagine. And no more suffering. No more wars. Whew. And then heaven is a place. Well, let's jump on over to chapter 22. Look at this. Verse 3. Chapter 22 and verse 3. And there shall be no more curse. You understand what that is? What that means? There's no more sin. We're under the curse of sin. My body's winding down and wearing out. That's because of the curse of sin. There's not going to be it. We're going to be out from under the curse. Creation as well. And then watch this, watch this. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. I've had people go, well, I'm just going to be up there in a lounge chair drinking frozen lemonade. And no, you're going to serve Jesus for all of eternity. They shall see his face. Woo! And his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. No need for the sun and the moon and the stars. Bless God, Mike McCorder, where are you? I saw you somewhere. Where are you? No more power failures, brother. The Shekinah glory of God's going to light that place up. Isn't that wonderful? Man, no more night. No more curse. No more sickness. No more suffering. No more tears. No more dying. God's taking care of everything in this place that we call heaven. But here's one of the greater things about heaven. God's going to tabernacle with us. That word tabernacle means to dwell. He's going to dwell with us. We're going to see him face to face as he is. You're not going to have to run looking for the presence of God. He's going to be right there. I can't get over that. Why would God want to spend time with me? Why would he want to spend time with y'all? I mean, y'all know who you are, right? And you know who God is. That's because he is a God of grace and mercy. We don't deserve heaven, but God's created it for us. Hallelujah. So we're going to dwell together with him. I could say a lot more about the splendor of heaven. And Paul tells us over there in Thessalonians, we shall be with him forever. There's none of this mess about, you know, temporary salvation. It's eternal. Once you get God, he's got you. And then if I've got time, mercy. The size of heaven. Now look at chapter 21. This is really good. Chapter 21, verse 12. Well, let me back up. Verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city. I'm in chapter 21. The holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. And look at verse 17. Then he measured its wall 144 cubits according to the measure of a man. That is of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. Have mercy. The heavenly city is surrounded by a 250-foot high wall. You know, back in John's day, all the cities were fortified for protection and security and that kind of thing. This is John's way of telling us heaven's going to be a safe, secure place. Bless God, no more security systems, John. No more cameras. You don't have to lock your door and put bars on your windows in glory. It's going to be a safe, secure place. And this wall is going to sit on 12 foundations. And by the way, the wall is made up of a substance called jasper. That's a diamond-like substance. It's going to shine like the sun. And one of the foundations is made up. There's 12 of them. And on each foundational stone around the city is the name of one of the 12 apostles. And each foundation has this precious, beautiful, gorgeous stone that makes up the foundation. Can you imagine stepping back and taking a look at this city of colors, of sights? My goodness, it's going to be an amazing place. And then you've got these gates, 12 of them, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, 3 on the east, 3 on the west. And each gate has an angel at it and the name of one of the 12 tribes on it. Now, having said that, let me say this. Each gate is made with one big pearl. How many of you know Jesus is the pearl of great price? And a pearl is made out of suffering and affliction. Now, I told y'all we're going to be traveling from the new heaven down to the new earth and back and forth, but I think every time we go through one of those gates, we're going to be reminded of the supreme sacrifice of our great Savior. Hallelujah. And by the way, there's only one street in heaven. We sing all these songs about all these streets in heaven. Theologically, that's not right. There is one street in heaven. Now, y'all do know this. Well, Brother Cal, where'd you get that? Look at verse 21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. There's only one street in heaven. It's Main Street. And it's going to be paved with pure gold. Down here, we worship gold and walk on God. Up there, glory to Him. We're going to worship God and walk on gold. Amen. I've got so much more I need to say. Let me just give you the surface area of heaven. The surface area of heaven is 15 times larger than the surface area of earth. The scripture tells us there in verse 14, now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city's laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. And so the city, this heavenly city, is a square. And if you do the math of 12,000, it's 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles deep, 1,500 miles high. And just the base of heaven, if 1,500 times 1,500 is 2,250,000 square miles. But heaven is also 1,500 miles high. And if heaven had stories of floors with 15-foot ceilings, heaven would have 528,000 stories of floors. And remember, each floor is going to have 2,250,000 square miles of space. Y'all, this is great stuff. The Department of Eugenics believes that there's been 30 trillion folks that have been born and lived. I don't know if that's right or not, but let's just say all 30 trillion went to heaven, and that's not going to be the case. Most people are not going to go to heaven. That's what the Bible teaches. But if every single person, 30 trillion, you know how many square miles of property, what your dwelling place would look like? 197 square miles. Oh, Brother Cal, come on down the street and see my new home. Hallelujah. So heaven's going to be a great big, big place. Why? So that whoever wants to go can go. And I've said all of that to say this morning. Just because you've got your name on a church roll somewhere, just because you've been baptized somewhere, doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven. I want to be absolutely sure. I want to hit the nail on the head right now. The only way you're going to get to heaven is out of God's grace, through faith in what His Son has already accomplished for you. You've got to trust Jesus with all your heart. You've got to surrender to Him. Give Him your life. Allow Him to be the Lord, the boss of your life. Not just affiliated on the fringe of some church. You've got to surrender to Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Billy Graham said it years ago. We talked about that in the war room this morning. Billy Graham said 40-something years ago, he believed that half the church was lost. Because it's almost a popular thing to say, I'm a Christian. And so here's what I want to ask you. With all that's happened this week, if you were to die today, my father-in-law called at 8:30 last night, and he sounded like death eating a cracker. You don't know what's out there. You don't know what's around the next corner. But if you were to die, where would you spend eternity? If you want to get to heaven, heaven's got to get in you. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Andrew, you come. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to have a response time. And we'll finish this message up next week. If you're here today, and you're not sure whether you're saved or not, let me tell you, today's the day, right now. I just want to give you some scripture. If you'd be willing to repent, that word there means a spiritual, it means to turn from your sin, to forsake it, to let it go, and turn to Jesus by faith as your only means of being forgiven and saved. If you'd surrender your life to Him today, He will send His Spirit to reign and rule in your spirit. And when He's ready, He'll come get you and take you to a place that's far better. Some of you need to pray just like that with faith. If you're under conviction about things, it doesn't matter what somebody else thinks. What matters, what does God think? We're going to stand and sing an invitational hymn, hymn of response. War room's going to be open. Altar's always open. We have deacons. We have counselors. We have folks that love to pray with you and put something in your hands to help you get started right in your new life with Christ. And a lot of you have folks in your family, and they're not ready for heaven. Not ready. Father, bless this time. May this be the greatest time of response in the history of Second Mile Church. Oh, God, move in this place. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Let's all stand.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-331-9000. 332-6288.